this episode of The Commercial Break.
I thought all those gambling companies were flush with cash.
Aren't they?
I guess not, if they can't make their payments. I mean, and you would think with the media rights to all of the... Here's the thing, is that when I was watching sport, when I was watching the Braves on the FanDuel's network, or what was called Bally's Sports.
Yeah, Bally's Sports, that's right.
Which I think Bally's owns FanDuel, I guess. I don't know. Who fucking knows?
Yeah, the emoji. I don't know.
I have my own emoji. Like, Apple made me an emoji with, you know, with a bald head and a... And big glass. And whenever I press that particular emoji, instead of being a small emoji in the middle of a sentence, it just automatically sends it as one huge emoji with me going, oh. I look like a fucking asshole.
The next episode of The Commercial Break starts now.
2:30 in the morning!
Oh, yeah, cats and kittens, welcome back to The Commercial Break. I'm Brian Green. This is my dear friend and the co-host of this show, Chris and Joy Hoadley. Best to you, Chris.
Best to you, Brian.
Best to you out there in the podcast and streaming audience. Thanks for joining us. We just got done with a lovely conversation with the brand new host of the CW Smash game show sensation, Scrabble. The none only, the one and only, none other than... Craig Ferguson.
Yes.
Personal hero of mine. And
yeah,
I don't say that
him.
Lightly. He is, there was no other television show like the Late Late Show with Craig Ferguson.
It was really good.
In history. It would go down as the best. Ever. Ever, ever, ever. As my son would say.
Ever, 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 ever,
ever, ever. Ever, ever, ever. Craig was just as funny and witty and charming and as intelligent.
Ever.
He's a Scottish guy, so he, you know, he can say anything.
Good looking.
Yeah, he can say fuck you and it would sound nice. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, he's good looking. He's fucking handsome.
Yeah.
That dude is handsome.
I loved his hair.
Ah, I got the Irish side, not the Scottish side, so I'm not going that direction. Yeah, he's silver bullet now, dude. He's not a lick of color in that hair, but he looks better than ever, I do have to say.
I want to watch the Scrabble.
I do want to watch Scrabble.
The whole thing about the CW was perplexing us.
Yeah, we had to figure out how to get to the CW. Yeah, but once we did, then we found it. CW? What's that? What's that? Well, you see, kids, back in the day, a lot of bikini-clad women used to run around in a place called the CW.
Yeah, it's not one I turn on very often.
No, but now I will. I actually pressed, I got Scrabble on record now.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to watch Craig on the CW. But I don't know where I'm going to watch my Braves. Did you hear about all this?
No, God, there's always something.
What the fuck, Braves? The Braves is one of the most valuable sports franchises ever. When they get sold, it will be for billions with a B of dollars. And that's, you know, that's, I don't think I'm venturing a guess there. I think that's true.
I agree.
Their media empire is unmatched. The Cubs and the Braves. And the reason why is because TBS and WGN, they used to carry those games nationally. So a lot of people who didn't have a professional baseball team that they could access on their local television stations would watch through TBS WGN. That's why the Cubs and the Braves are two of the most popular baseball teams ever. And the Braves, along with nine other teams, have now separated with FanDuel's network, the FanDuel network owned by Main Street Sports, because Main Street Sports was not paying them their royalties. They missed some royalty payments. And so now it looks like the channel's going to go under. But I will have to say, this is good news for the everyday fan. And the talk is that the Braves are now in conversations with Apple and Amazon to put their games on streaming on Apple or Amazon.
Every year I have this whole conversation with Jeff about, because he has to order some special package to be able to watch the Braves. And I'm like, it's like $100 more.
That's it.
Just to watch the Braves.
I know. We did the same thing.
So,
we bought the FanDuel package just so we could watch the Braves, and it is a load of horse shit. Now, you have to get Amazon or Apple, I'm sure, to watch the Braves now. It's not going to be 100% free, but nine other local teams are dealing with the same thing because of this whole deal with FanDuel. But last year, the last 2 years, it has been awful confusing to figure out exactly where we watch the Braves. And like we were talking to Craig about, game shows and sports are the two things that we can watch as a family mm-hmm. that everybody understands, or at least, you know, pretends they understand. You know, my
playoffs.
Yeah, my playoffs. I don't really understand. My 7-year-old understands some of these sports better than I do. But they get into it. You know, if dad's into it or mom's into it, then they're into it. Mm-hmm. And that's it. So the game shows and the Braves. And I want them to watch the Braves. I like the Braves, you know?
Of course.
Listen,
it's our home team.
That's right. 278 games a year. So, you know, almost every night between March and September, you can watch a baseball game. Why not? Let's do it. And so I hope that they get this straightened out, or at least go to a local media station.
Yeah.
You know, whatever happened to the good old days when you just turn on TBS?
I know. It was just there.
Sanford and Son at 7:05 and the Braves game at 7:35. That's how it rolled. For years and years and years. It was an institution. It was an institution.
It was,
or you
yeah.
could listen to, or when I'm going to date myself a little bit here, but you could turn on WGN and listen to Harry Carey call the day games at the old Wrigley Field. So mm-hmm. anyway, bit of drama. FanDuel, I thought all those gambling companies were flush with cash.
Aren't they?
I guess not if they can't make their payments. I mean, and you would think with the media rights to all of the, here's the thing is that when I was watching sport, when I was watching the Braves on the FanDuel's network, or what was called Bally's Sports.
Yeah, Bally's Sports. That's right.
Which I think Bally's owns FanDuel, I guess. I don't know. Who fucking knows?
Yeah, the emoji. I don't know.
I have my own emoji. Like Apple made me an emoji with, you know, with a bald head and a big glass. And whenever I press that particular emoji, instead of being a small emoji in the middle of a sentence, it just automatically sends it as one huge emoji with me going, oh, I look like a fucking asshole. Whenever I would try and get that fucking, whenever I would watch that Braves and the Bally's FanDuel Sports Southeast Network or whatever the fuck it's called these days, the commercials in the games were uniquely local commercials,
yeah,
uniquely repeating themselves.
That's right.
Uniquely every advertising
That's
break.
That's right.
Every break, it'd be Anderson Windows has been, you know, giving windows to Atlanta since 1979. You know, or be like, you know, looky, here comes Cookie Cook's Pest Control. Same shit every fucking ad break. And so, some people might say, well, good for, they got all the, you know, they sold all the, no, that's not what's happening. What's happening is likely they didn't sell all the advertising, but they cannot run a television, like, ad break
without
with
anything.
Nothing.
Yeah, so they just fill it.
Yeah, same with radio. If you know, if you have dead air, you can't have dead air. So what do? You just give people freebies. That's what you do. That's what you have to do. So anyway, we'll see what happens. But I'm hopeful that this ends up on Apple, Amazon, or the CW.
The CW.
I take the CW. Give me yet another reason to watch the CW. Mm-hmm. I would take that. So there you go. Lots of news, lots of interesting shit going on in the news. I mean, without stating the obvious, Chappelle Roan's breath. Yeah, we're fucked. We're fucked. Nationalize the elections. What the fuck is this guy talking about, man? It's, hey, let me tell you something. I went to a party this weekend. I was with a lot of people. It's not nice to talk politics in front of mixed company, but I did because I got a big mouth. I can't shut the fuck up. And talking to some Venezuelans I don't know. And that's weird because when you're Venezuelan, you know every other Venezuelan, but we didn't know these Venezuelans. But I was talking to them. This looks very familiar to them, what's going on here in the United States. Looks very familiar to them. So mind your P's and Q's, kids, because, you know, fascism coming right to your front door.
Yeah.
Authoritarianism. Anyway, that's not what I wanted to talk about. What I wanted to talk about was Chappelle Roan's tits.
Yes.
I mean, what else? It's the biggest news of the day.
Yeah.
Chappelle Roan showed up to the Grammys. A lot of nearly nude, see-through dresses on the red carpet.
It's all the rage.
Tits are all the rage.
Those were prosthetics.
I saw that.
Mm-hmm.
I zoomed in.
And it was taken from, like, I guess a look from the runway. Moogler, I think, was the designer from 1998.
So I did see that. Yeah,
that.
I saw that. But that was like the real
deal. That was
those
the real.
Those were real tits.
Yeah,
those were real tits. But what she did was she put prosthetic nipples on.
Yeah.
And then they covered them really well. So it looked essentially like she had a breast without a nipple, and then nipple rings were holding up her garment, which was extraordinarily interesting. I loved the look, actually. I thought it was really cool. And not your thing?
Yeah,
I mean, listen,
thing.
You got to have Chappelle Roan's tits to do that, right? Not everyone's gonna fit
know,
the mold.
I guess, and she's kind of her own person, you know, she's her own artistic person. But I guess the picture that I saw, too, was like she was kind of slouching and then had like a bad expression.
Oh, so the tits were kind of hanging.
Well, Rachel and I were kind of talking about it. I was like, I don't know.
The only picture I saw, she was standing straight up. And I thought, well, you can do that at a certain age or with a certain type of breast, right? But not everyone's going to be able to.
Well, I mean, it seems like when was the whole Censori, Bianca Censori, and you know, the
Kanye
and the nude dress? When did that, was that Grammys or was that something else?
Yeah, that was the Grammys. That was 2 years ago. He stormed the Grammys,
it was so,
non-invited.
So, oh my God, everybody could believe it. And now everybody else is doing it.
That's right. Now everyone's doing it. That's how fashion works, right? That's how outrage works. You get a reaction and then everyone else wants to follow. No, there is nothing outrageous about a set of tits. They are tits.
Yeah.
They are tits. Everyone has them, including men. But the, you know, we have, and I'm guilty as this, I'm as guilty as anyone of doing this, hypersexualized breasts. That's what we do, right? So someone walks on the red carpet and they have their tits out. You know, listen, as far as I'm concerned, I don't know if I'd want my children watching it. Right? Because, you know, you got to have
The human body is beautiful, especially women's. But as far as like fashion,
right?
I don't know if there's a fashion part of that. Like,
fashion and like sex to me go hand in hand, right?
Yeah.
Like fashion, sex, rock and roll, it all goes hand in hand to me. And I don't know that I want to encourage my daughters to be wearing see-through tops, right?
Oh, it's happening.
Oh, I know it's going to happen. I know it's already happening. Yeah, I'm out there in the world. I see these fucking 18, 19, 20-year-olds barely there or not there, you know, just wearing see-through
stuff.
Also,
though, I was reading that there's the new trend with the younger generation is actually to be more comfortable. Have a
God bless
more,
that.
Yeah, like more comfortable things.
Yeah.
Like, leggings are out.
No. Now no more leggings.
Yeah, now it's like joggers, track pants, you know, whatever, be comfortable. Man, maybe be a little
baggy. The Janko jeans are back in for the women. Janko jeans, not Janko the brand, but that style is back in. Is Astrid's got a pair, and I thought, are you going skating? What are you doing in those? She's like, it's the new, like, you know, hip mom style. And I was like, oh, okay. Took me a minute to get used to it because it was a flashback.
Mm-hmm.
But everything old is new again, and that's how it works. And so for me, I just want to be careful that I'm not modeling something for my children that then I have to explain to them why they can't. Like, I can't get all excited about Chappelle Roan's tits hanging out, and then my daughter at 9 comes to me and says, oh,
I want nipple rings.
I want nipple rings to hang my clothes off of. And I go, well, you like it, Daddy. Yeah. Well, Daddy's creepy. So let's leave that out. But anyway, listen, this is like tits are tits.
And
they've always been a part of fashion, by the way.
Sure.
You go way back to the 50s and 60s and 70s, and, you know, boobs are part of it's an accessory in some ways.
I guess what I'm saying is I don't know if a nude, what Chappelle Roan was wearing was fashion, but like the nude dresses, I don't know that that's fashion.
I don't know either. Yeah. I'm having a hard time. Like, I like it because I like to look at it. But I don't know that it looks good.
Beautiful bodies.
Yeah, but I don't know that it looks good. I don't know. I mean, it might as well just show up with nothing on, right?
Yeah.
You're putting on a piece of sheer lace, whatever. Anyway, that's the Grammys. That's what they do. And he's always
Grammys were wow.
Grammys are just like
this year. Whoa.
I hate it because the Grammys are, when I was a teenager, like
I know
11
it was big.
To 28, 29, because I desperately wanted to be a musician of note.
Yeah.
The Grammy is what I wanted. The Grammy is what I dreamed of. Showing up at the Grammy, playing at the Grammys.
There used to be playing at the Grammys.
Hanging my pants from two dick rings, like nut rings.
Yes. Goals.
Prosthetics. Goals. Goals, kids. Hashtag goals. But I loved watching the Grammys and the MTV Video Music Awards, the VMAs. Those two things to me were like, that's the Mount Everest of award shows, and I could give a shit about anything else. Now, I'd much rather watch the Golden Globes than the Grammys. Part of it is I'm not listening to a lot of the music that is
there's that, and then a lot of it is just so produced. So produced.
Overproduced.
Yeah, overproduced.
All and the numbers, and they're like, you know,
yeah.
You know, clearly, it's just clearly they're trying so hard. And they don't have to do it in that fucking stadium. Let's get over that whole thing. I'm serious. Put it back in a room with 300 people sitting at tables.
Yeah.
And I know that it's not going to be as electric for the audience, but you know, the Grammys has done something interesting over the last couple of years. I think they should do more of, which is they go live to an actual concert somewhere in the United States or wherever across the world. And then that musician does a number.
Yeah, I like that.
At the concert, right? Mm-hmm. I like that. That's a real representation of what music is.
But now, instead, they cut to Bieber in silk boxers and socks.
The fuck?
When he came out, I was like, what?
What are you doing?
What?
Why are you doing that, Bieber?
Know.
You're like literally train wrecking in front of the entire world live. That was the most.
It was bizarre.
I don't know who advised him that that was a good idea, but you could hear people laughing when he came out. You could hear it. It was like a dead silence pin drop as he came out, and then you heard people laughing as the light shined on him. Listen, I'm rooting for the kid.
I know.
I am. Tough life.
Me too.
Tough life. You know, billionaire tough life, but tough life, yeah. Right? I mean, come on.
Well, he's had some health problems.
He's had health problems. He's had mental health issues. Mm-hmm. He's some, I don't know. I don't know. I don't want to speculate on what's going on with Bieber, but at the same time, like, dude.
Yeah.
If this is your big comeback after 5 years of not playing live music anywhere, whatever the deal is.
Right, right.
Show up dressed, kill it.
Yeah.
Simple, understated, do it. Everyone's rooting for you.
Exactly.
You don't have to do it in your fucking boxers.
And socks.
And socks. By the way, I cannot tell the difference between Bieber's 13-year-old body and Bieber's 30-year-old body.
That's true.
I will give him that.
Exactly.
Good for you. You're beating father time. No dad bod there, that's for sure.
That's
do they have
true.
A kid yet?
They do.
They do? Okay. They no do. Dad bod has not set in on Justin Bieber, but he might be smoking too much weed for it. I don't know. Like him and Snoop Dogg just have like these, you know, just tiny little bodies. Yeah. But I don't know. It took away from the entire performance. I couldn't tell you whether or not it was good because all I could see was Justin Bieber in his silk boxers.
And his socks.
And his socks. It's too comfy. We don't need to be that intimate. We can like, how about business casual? Can we say business casual? How about stoner casual? Can we go stoner cash? Put on a pair of JNCOs.
Right,
okay?
Right.
Yeah.
Barrel jeans.
That's right. You want to wear a tank top? Okay, cool. You know, show off your little beeb fleebs. Okay, got it. 10-4. But don't just show up in boxers. That's a ridiculous thing to do. It was ridiculous. And I think everybody thought it. I think I'm saying the thing that we all felt, right? Like,
I know.
But I read all these articles and, you know, no, everyone's too afraid to step on it, step on the line. But they're like, oh, Justin Bieber shows up in boxers. And I go, what the fuck? And everybody else is like, you know, makes his grand comeback. Yeah, he made his grand comeback. And everyone goes, shouldn't he be in an asylum somewhere?
Right.
Yeah.
Gosh, I don't
Where's
know.
Where's Haley? When
she was in the audience.
Her? I know. Yeah. Lovingly looking
I know.
At her husband in his silk boxers and socks. Playing his little guitar. Chingy ching chang. All right. Okay. Then what else did we have? Okay. We had a bunch of performances, way overproduced, way over.
I didn't even watch the whole thing.
But we had one moment I think that stood out from almost any of the moments. One of the notable moments, which was Bad Bunny getting
God, I saw that.
Ice
and I loved it.
Barely able to, barely mastering the English language. And I give him all the credit in the world because I know it's very difficult when you speak a second language to be in front of people trying to speak that second language, especially if you haven't fully mastered it yet. And I don't think I'm saying anything out of turn here. Bad Bunny has not fully mastered English yet, but he just killed it.
He killed it. Yeah.
He didn't mean
I was like, yes.
Yes. Amen. And then everyone else who followed had to say something. But I give him a lot of credit. He is under an immense amount of pressure right now. The spotlight is directly on him. People are watching his every move. He's getting criticized by at least a third of the people that live in this country who are not thinking with all of their brain cells.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know. Who cares? The Super Bowl is not about American musicians. The Super Bowl halftime show has traditionally been about the musician, people who deserve, that are big enough.
The Stones played.
Yeah.
I mean, there's been plenty of people that aren't from...
Katy Perry came out in like a blow-up dildo or something. Okay? We're all right.
Yeah.
Prince played. Tom Petty played.
Oh, yeah.
Bruce Springsteen played.
Stones.
Stones. Yeah. Metallica. Everybody's played. Because they are big enough that they transcend pop culture. They transcend the style. So Bad Bunny is reggaeton, mostly, mainly, right? And Bad Bunny, my friends, is the artist. He's got like 182 billion streams or something like that.
He's great.
His music, I like a number of his songs. Mm-hmm. Do I listen to Bad Bunny on rotation? No, I do not. But I know Bad Bunny because I am in a multicultural family and Bad Bunny is everywhere.
We interviewed the producer.
Nicky Jam.
Yeah, Nicky Jam.
Nicky Jam and Bad Bunny. Friendly. And so reggaeton has transcended culture, just like country music has transcended the pop culture, one lane. It's now everywhere. It's part of everything. So Bad Bunny's going to do the Super Bowl. But I say all this to say that Bad Bunny said what needed to be said. He said the thing, and I appreciate that.
Yeah.
And he did it wearing a bulletproof vest. I don't know if you noticed
did,
that.
No, I didn't realize that.
He had a bulletproof
that.
Vest Whoa. On. And if you pay real close attention, actually not even really that close of attention, if you watch him walk up to stage, you will see that Bad Bunny was wearing a bulletproof
vest.
Well,
I guess that's the times we're in, unfortunately.
That's it. I mean, unbelievable. Mm. His security team has said that he's gotten like, you know, 4,000 death threats a week or something. It's just insane.
Oh,
because he got invited
threats.
To do the fucking Super Bowl?
The death threats. I mean,
really?
It's bad enough you're like saying mean things, but then you're going to death threat?
Yeah. But don't worry. If that's not your thing, you can tune in to Kid Rock.
The alternative Super Bowl.
Yeah, Kid Rock, Hoedown Showdown. They'll be going head to head.
Who is it, Kid Rock and who else? What, Lee Greenwood?
Kid Rock on the WB. Kid Rock's on the WB. Check him out.
Oh, God.
Yeah, it's like Kid Rock, Lee Greenwood.
All the suspicious suspects.
Nasta Pasta Martin. The token black guy, you know,
right.
Somebody they paid $1 billion to pretend he likes Trump for 10 minutes. You know, it's all just to show that it's not about diversity. Yeah, sure it is. All right. Okay. This is a totally insane concept.
God,
but
it really
whatever.
Is so dumb.
Listen, to be fair, they have the Puppy Bowl while the Super Bowl is on, right? There is counter programming to the Super Bowl. So, you know, not that they can't do it. Go ahead, do your thing. Knock it out. But I can guarantee, you know, you'll get people that are tuning in. No doubt about it. People will tune in. They're mindless. They're brainwashed. They're going to tune in to the Kid Rock Super Bowl show. But I would much rather be watching the real deal.
Well, yeah.
And I do not have any interest in seeing Kid Rock do anything.
No.
I watched a YouTube video of him playing like at the Sturgis or something like that. And
the motorcycle thing. Yeah.
Yeah. People waited for like 3 hours in the rain to see Kid Rock. And he came on like 48 minutes late.
Oh, God.
And
so
like
bad.
The crowd just left. They like people just dispersed. They were like, oh, no, not for me. Listen. That's your thing? That's your thing. But we should, I think.
Hello.
Hi. Someone on the stream says hi. Hi. I think we should really not be that upset about Bad fucking Bunny.
No,
he's a good artist. He's going to do a great job. And if it's not your thing, that's cool. Turn it off. And if you feel like flipping on Kid Rock, he'll be on the WB, wherever that is. On the WB. All right, let's take our first break. Don't worry, you didn't miss much. You never do. So let's take our first break. And then when we get back, I'll tell you about my weekend. I had a very interesting
weekend
here at the Green Household and out and about. I actually left my house.
You did.
Yeah. It's during Snowmageddon. 2 weekends in a row. Hoping for a little bit of fucking fuzzy activity so that my kids could go outside and have some fun in the snow.
It was too windy for the snow to stick.
It just dried out right away.
It just swirled.
It looked like a snowstorm for about 3 hours. But then it was so windy and that wind was so dry that it just sucked up all the moisture. Yeah. So as soon as it hit the ground, it just went away. I think we had snow on the ground for about 3 hours. Okay, well, I got to find my commercials here. That's always a problem. Let's do that.
All right, let's find the commercials. When we return, more fun and shenanigans from Chrissy and I here on The Commercial Break.
WB.
Kid Rock coming up next on The WB. Kid Rock just bought the WB. So he had a station to put his show. All right, we'll be back.
Okay, you're probably wondering why I, Rachel, have taken over the voice duties at TCB. It's pretty simple. Astrid asked me to shut Brian up, even for a minute. Well, lovely Astrid, your wish is my command. Do you want to help Astrid too? You know you do. Leave a message for her, or me, or Chrissy at 212-433-3TCB. That's 212-433-3822. You can be on the show too. Mm-hmm. Just call and say something. Anything. Or text us and we'll text you right back. Promise. Then head over to tcbpodcast.com and get your free sticker. It's your constitutional right to a sticker, and we must abide. You get the point. Follow us on Instagram at The Commercial Break and watch all the episodes on video at youtube.com/The Commercial Break. Best to you and Astrid, especially Astrid.
Do I turn it off? My ears are saying ow. Stop laughing at yourself. Are these two making sense? At least I didn't pay. I am deaf in my defense. TCB is terrible. That is being kind. Both the hosts are idiots. They left the funny behind. What is this show about? It's offensive to my soul. Brian is a hack. These two aren't funny and so old. Why all the hype? How did this get made? So many episodes, none of which are great. TCB is terrible. Worst show you could do. TCB is terrible. Worst to you.
Worst to you.
Worst to you. Indeed, worst to you. All right. Kid Rock's All-American Halftime Show airs Sunday, February 8th, around sometime. I'm not going to tell you. On YouTube and Rumble. All right.
What's Rumble?
I don't know, but let's get there. Oh, it also airs on OAN. Okay.
Of course it does.
Yeah. Okay. And the Daily Wire Plus, which you have to pay for. Oh, Charge, whatever that is. Go ahead, tune into Charge. Brantley Gilbert, Lee Bryce, and Gabby Barrett, who won 2021's New Country Music Artist of the Year Award. So she's doing great things, going places there with the new Kid Rock halftime show. And I see the Kid Rock's, while Kid Rock's getting older, his wardrobe has not changed. So Kid Rock says, Bad Bunny's going to be singing in Spanish, wearing a dress, and doing a dance party on national TV. Cool. We'll be doing an all-American halftime show for Americans who love America. All right. With real music is what he said. All right. Okay. His words, not mine. Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Kid Rock. There you go. I wonder what Craig Ferguson would have to say about that. Craig won't talk about politics.
He doesn't,
so.
No.
You know what? It's probably best when you get one of those syndicated talk shows, board game type thingies that you don't... you just shut your mouth.
Go neutral.
Yeah, game show. Yeah, everyone's going to be watching what you say and all that other stuff. So Astrid and I had an opportunity to leave the house after the non-event.
Congratulations.
Yeah, it looked a little dicey there for a couple of hours.
It did.
We managed to get out there. Noemi came and watched the kids, so we had an opportunity to get out of the house. So We went to a party, a birthday party. It was lovely. It was just lovely. It was catered.
Sounds like so much fun.
DJ and 70 people there in a lovely home, and everyone was just having a good time. Lots of Astrid's coworkers, lots of some people that we knew, but lots of people that we didn't. We got to meet, and they were lovely. It's just it was a good party. They put on
a good party,
a good fucking party. Mm-hmm. Everyone was dancing, singing. They had karaoke, and people were getting into it. Yeah, they had a good DJ was doing karaoke. It was good. Like he'd intermix the karaoke with songs. That, you know, everyone was having a good time, drinking. The bar was open. Bartender catered lovely food. Everything. So. We were there, I don't know, 5-6 hours, maybe 7 hours. We were there for a long time. But we had to get back at some point because, you know, no, Amy can't watch the kids forever. Although sometimes I wish she would. So we go and we leave the house. We are in an upscale neighborhood in Atlanta. Not the nicest, like not the Buckhead billionaire houses, but a nice neighborhood.
Of course.
A neighborhood has been around for a long time, got nice houses, you know. Bob's got a nice house. Let's put it that way. I love Bob. Got a beautiful house. You won't even know where that's from, but someday I'll tell you. and we leave down these residential streets. So we go up, we take a right, do the thing, and we're driving by, and we're driving down this street to get out of the neighborhood, and I hear, and I thought, oh, did I just cut somebody off or something on the stop sign? And I look behind me. And I don't see anybody. So I'm like, okay, well, I didn't hit anybody. You know, I didn't almost hit anybody. I don't know why somebody was honking at me, but I kept going. And Astrid goes, I think there's a car in the tree. And I go, what? And she goes, I think there was a car in a tree. And I go, a car in a tree, babe. What are you talking about? And Astrid had a few drinks. So I was like, oh, she must be hammered. Car in a tree. And I go, did you really? And she goes, no, seriously, that honking noise. Like, there was a car like in a tree or up somewhere off the road. And I go, seriously? Yes. Okay. So now we're like, you know, football fields away from where this happened. I pull in the driveway. I turn around. And now as I'm pulling back up this hill, I can see that there is a car off the road in somebody's like the house is up on a hill. And I can see that the car is up the hill.
Oh, geez.
With the lights on inside and the headlights on, and the lights are on in the car. And so I pull and I maneuver my car where I can put my brights on to see what's going on. Now, you come up upon this after midnight in Atlanta, you got to be careful. You never know what's going on inside of a car. You know, somebody just crashed. But what I could see was somebody had clearly crashed.
Yeah.
They had run into a tree, and then they had hit like a decorative rock, like a landscaping rock.
Yeah.
Not a small one, like one 3 times the size of this table that's just sitting there.
A boulder.
Right? Yeah. People in Atlanta, they had decorate their landscape with rocks. I don't get it, but my dad did it too, but I don't know. But it had hit the rock. So I can see what's going on, and I'm like, oh, and the horn is just going. There's no beep, beep. It's
just laying on the horn.
As if someone's head had hit the horn and was just staying there. So now I'm all kerfuffled. I don't know what to do, right? But the first thing I know to do is let's call 911. Let's get some police officers out here because they have ammunition, right? And I don't. But.
Well, there needs to be some kind of investigation done.
Yes. So I call 911 on the speakerphone in the car, and we're trying to, we're telling them where it is and what's going on and all this other stuff. And the officer or the person on the phone goes, is anybody injured in the accident? And I said, I don't know. I can't see anybody in the car, but I'm not inside the car. And the officer's like, or the person is like, do you see anybody around the car? And I'm like, I don't see anybody around the car.
Yeah.
And then he's, is it safe to check to see if somebody is in the car? And I was like, I really don't know, but I'll go check. And Astrid's freaking out. She's like, oh my God. And be careful. And I'm like, okay. Stay on the phone with the dispatch and let me go. So I slowly crept up to that car, both airbags deployed, iPad in the passenger seat, debit card in the middle of the console with a name on it and everything. And the car smashed to bits, smashed to shits.
No one's there.
And the first thing I know to do in a car accident, if you come up on a car accident that's bad enough, especially if it's been hit, the engine is damaged, is that you turn off the car. So that it doesn't set on fire.
Makes sense.
Right? If you can safely do that. So by the way, both windows are rolled down. It's 9 degrees outside.
Sure.
It's freezing fucking cold. So I open the door and I go to pull the keys out. There's no keys in the car. There's no keys in the car, and the car is stuck in drive, right? And I can't move the stick shift. So I'm like, well, shit. It doesn't take 15 seconds after I do this that the first police officer shows up.
Okay, good.
Now, luckily, I've not been drinking or anything, but, you know, I'm just here to help. Leave me alone, right? But that's the first thing I thought when I got, is the officer going to, like, give me, the rigmarole? Where are you coming from? Huge Venezuelan party in the bourbon room.
They had tequilas from all over the world.
They had a bar and a DJ and
karaoke.
Dancing girls. So then, the officer, he's gotten his flashlight and he's like, what's going on here? And I go, I don't know. I just rolled up on it. You know, we heard the horn. My wife thought something was going on. We turned around, yada, bada, yada. There we are. Here we are right now. And so he says, okay. So he's looking around the car and he goes, well, we'll have to find out whose car this is. And he's like calling in the license plate. And I go, there's actually a credit card and an iPad sitting right there. If you want to go ahead and check that out. He goes, there is? I go, yeah. So he takes out the credit card. He's looking at it. He calls it in. Okay. All right. Okay. So we stay there for about another three, four minutes tops. And I say, hey, listen, do you need me to give a statement or anything? And he goes, no, you just happened up on it. If you're not part of it. I don't know what you would need to state. I got your phone number in case we do. Okay, great. Wonderful. So we leave. All right. So somebody in the neighborhood knew somebody in the neighborhood who knew somebody in the neighborhood who figured out that apparently this was a dude who lives in the neighborhood who is having some, let's call it familial drama.
Okay.
Right? And that familial drama is putting him under a lot of stress. But the first thing, and that's what he told the officers, right? That's the word through the grapevine.
Once they found him a few days later.
Once they found him the next day. Mm-hmm. That's right. Once he's had a chance to sober up.
Right.
And that's what you think about. The first thing when it rolled up is Astrid and I were thinking about this. We must have rolled up on it 1 minute after it happened because the horn was going, and this is in a residential neighborhood. I don't know, but it wasn't like 3:30 in the morning. It was like midnight-ish, a little past midnight. If I'm living in that neighborhood, I'm thinking to myself, what is that noise? Like, if I'm anywhere close to it, I'm like, who's laying on their horn? Somebody's in trouble. Let's go look at it. Now, there's one of three circumstances where I could think about that the reason why somebody would have run off from an accident like that. The first and obvious one is
you're drunk. Yep.
The second one is you're an immigrant, right? Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. It's 2026. Let's not deny that that could be a possibility. You are not legal here in the country, or you even think for any reason that somebody could be looking at you sideways about anything having to do with your immigration status. Mm-hmm. Or number three, you're doing something illegal, like driving a stolen car. Or it's a teenager that has taken their parents' car out for a joyride or something. And they live in the neighborhood and they just wanted to get home where they were going to feel safe, had time to sober up or whatever. And so, but here's the thing. Like I was in Astros, what are they going to do? And I was like leaving the scene of an accident, I think is about the best they got.
Yeah. Like, you know, if you're drunk.
Yeah.
For sure.
If you're drunk, you're not a day later, no one's getting you for DUI. They can suspect you get DUI all day long, but if no one saw you driving the car, how do they do that? Even if you said you were driving the car, how are you going to get a DUI a day later? So that made me think, why don't more people run from accidents?
Well, we had the one when you told me this story. This happened over the holidays. And Jeff and I were, it was like, I don't know, 10 at night.
Yeah.
Jeff and I were in our bedroom, we're watching some TV, and all of a sudden I heard a loud boom. And, you know, I'm in downtown Atlanta. So
booms happen.
Booms happen.
Yeah.
Sometimes people are doing fireworks. I mean, sometimes it's maybe a shot. I don't know. So and we were like, that didn't really sound like what we normally would hear, maybe. And so I go out and I look outside of our front door, and the house, we're on a corner, and then there's another corner right next to us, and that house, right in front of that house, a car had hit this tree right in front of it. And so I'm like, oh my God, Jeff, come out here and look, you know, and we're looking at it, we're watching this all unfold. All of a sudden, there was a girl, and she was outside of the car, and she was crying. And, you know, there was like a neighbor that had kind of come out and was kind of trying to help. Well, next thing you know, this guy pulls up in a pickup truck, pulls up, grabs her.
Whiz
they
bang.
Grab her purse. They take off.
Yeah.
And so we were like, what?
What?
And ended up talking to a couple of neighbors. Yes, she was drunk. She was coming home from a party, I guess, kind of lost control and hit the car. She was okay. But yeah, they were trying to get a tow truck out to come get the car before the police got there.
Yeah.
The police got there first.
The police got there first. So, they give her a DUI?
No, she'd left the scene.
She left the scene. Yeah. What can you do? Yeah, you
got to. So they got the tow truck did come out, but the police had already made. And we were talking to somebody, and they said that, back to your point of why more people don't do that, I guess, like, insurance, I think, won't cover anything to do with your car.
If you leave the scene of an accident. Yeah. But this car was, I don't think you would worry too much about that. It was an older car, like kind of a, you know, junky car. I don't think you would worry about it. I mean, I've known people, we've known people who have run from scenes of accidents because they are drunk. One car accidents, just to be clear about that, like not involving anybody else, but, you know, hit a median or whatever, and then, you know, you're like, I'm out of here, see you later. I mean, you got to do what you got to do, I guess, sometimes. You know, no one wants a DUI, and maybe it is just dumb just to stand around, maybe just like
take off.
Why am I gonna wait to go to jail? Let's get out of here. I'll deal with it in the morning. I mean, thank God I wasn't that idiot too much, but, you know,
so you were saying, now though, it's been circulated throughout the homeowners association.
Well, that's the embarrassing part, is that when you leave your car on a rock in someone's front yard. It's hard to get away from that drama. Right? I mean, that's what you got to deal with. But I guess it's still better than going to jail. And, but, you know, I feel bad for anybody that's in that type of situation. It's just a shitty, shitty situation. When I was a teenager, I was dating a girl, like dating, you know, loosely, go to the movies kind of dating, right? And I think I was like, I was at my first job. I was working at McDonald's. I was probably 14 years old. I was dating some girl. We'd see each other on the weekends and make out, you know, under the shirt, over the shirt kind of thing. Second base, right? And one night I got a phone call from the girl that I was dating, and she was crying. They were at the hospital because the guy who was driving a car with two girls in the background and two girls in the back seat and a girl sitting next to him that he was dating, he was known to drive fast. Like, he was one of these guys.
Oh,
like,
You
know, he had the stick shift and nitro.
Spoiler.
And, spoiler, the whole nine yards, right? And he had like a Celica, but it would go really fast. Or at least we felt like it would go really fast. He was just that guy. He thought he was a race car driver. And he's a teenager, and he had no sense of timing or direct. I mean, he's just like, it's completely, you know, dumb shit that he would do. And he was riding down a really curvy street here in Atlanta. And the girl that he was dating wanted him to slow down and grabbed his hand while he was driving.
Oh.
And when she grabbed his hand, he yanked the wheel. She yanked the wheel. He yanked the wheel. Whatever. Grabbed his hand, wheel yanked. And
that's
they
scary.
Went flying off an embankment into a cement mailbox.
God.
Into a brick mailbox. And the car was in no shape. I mean, it was just completely in tatters.
Yeah.
And everyone walked away from it. I think some people got stitches. I think there was a broken bone here or there. I can't remember. But the first instinct of the girls in the back seat was to run. They like started to run. And the kid who was driving was like, why are you running? And they're like, my mom's going to kill me.
Right.
And it's like, you don't run because your mom's going to kill you. Your mom is going to be okay. Your mom wants you to be okay.
True.
Wait for the fucking ambulance to show up, and then, you know, everyone will figure it out. I mean, that's like, I get the instinct to run, but you gotta stay. You definitely have to stay. And listen, I remember one time I got in a hit and run accident. Someone hit me, and then they just took fuck off. They took the fuck off, and I know why they took off. They didn't have insurance. They were drunk, whatever. You know, they had problems that they didn't want to catch up. Luckily, the damage wasn't that bad. And I have uninsured motorists, so all that stuff. But I know for a fact, if you leave the scene, your insurance company is out.
Mm-hmm.
They say, see you later, skater.
You're on your own.
Yeah, we just got a free pass to charge you more on your insurance, and we don't have to pay for anything.
Yeah.
So stop being such a shithead and stay around next time. It's just one of those things. All right, let's take another break, and when we get back, I have some more stuff to talk to you about.
Oh,
you're
going
to be really excited. I don't know what it is, but I'll figure it out over the break. All right, we'll be back.
I've been putting in the work. I've been working out hard. I've been trying my best. my balls? Will it ever be enough? Why won't you look at my body? Why do you cheat on me? Don't you love my money? All my salon suites. I'm such a lonely Frankie babe. Seen a lot of action, I've been around the world, but I just can't find a lady who wants to be my girl. I've been getting new hair plugs, I've never been so tan. I'm living with my daughter, eating tuna from a can. Why won't you look at my body? Why do your friends hate me? Don't I impress you, honey, with my salon suites? I'm such a lonely Frankie babe. Be lovers. I know I'm just your type. Why don't you come to my place? I'll botox your face. Please, girl, swipe right. Yeah!
Hey, it's Rachel, your new voice of God here on TCB. And just like you, I'm wondering just how much longer this podcast can continue. Let's all rejoice that another episode has made it to your ears, and I'll rejoice that my check is in the mail. Speaking of mail, get your free TCB sticker in the mail by going to tcbpodcast.com and visiting the Contact Us page. You can also find the entire commercial break library, audio and video, just in case you want to look at Chrissy, at tcbpodcast.com. Want your voice to be on an episode of the show? Leave us a message at 212-433-3TCB. That's 212-433-3822. Tell us how much you love us, and we'll be sure to let the world know on a future episode. Or you could make fun of us. That'd be fine, too. We might not air that, but maybe. Oh, and if you're shy, that's okay. Just send a text. We'll respond. Now I'm going to go check the mailbox for payment while you check out our sponsors, and then we'll return to this episode of the commercial break.
Oh, I'm watching a video here that, is this true?
That I don't know. You never know with videos now.
Yeah, you never know with videos. That is true. The work has begun. It appears that the Venezuelan embassy the U.S. embassy in Venezuela is being opened back up as we speak. Mm. So good news. It's good news for Venezuelans because then they can get visas and do the work they need to do down there. And that embassy's been closed for a long time. So that's good news. It's good news for family and friends that want to, you know, travel places and do things. You know, Venezuela's looking better than the United States in some ways. It's crazy. I'm reading about Savannah Guthrie's
mom.
What the fuck?
Well, they think now that I was reading earlier, they think she was maybe abducted.
Who abducts an 80-something-year-old woman?
I mean, I guess Savannah is a famous person. I don't know. Maybe for...
Yeah, but Savannah Guthrie is not exactly the lightning bolt of controversy that you think she is. Is she?
No.
I don't know.
Maybe it's for ransom or something. I don't know.
I don't know. We'll see. I hope that everything turns out.
She's, I think, pulling out of the Olympics. Because
I would too.
Yeah.
Yeah. How are you going to concentrate on the fucking Olympics? And it's the Winter Olympics. If it was the Summer Olympics, maybe I think about it. But it's the Winter Olympics, and you don't want your mom out there without
missing.
Some cold case missing while you're trying to ham it up with some downhill skier. You know what I'm saying? That would be really tough to do.
Of course,
I can totally understand where she's coming from. I would absolutely.
That's a bizarre story, though. I don't know what happened.
It is.
I guess we'll find out.
The good news for Savannah is she is a famous person, so it's getting a lot of attention.
Yeah.
So hopefully, maybe someone took her and didn't know who she was. Like, oh shit, maybe I should let this lady go. But, with each passing hour, things don't look good, which reminds me of a very strange story that I don't think has gotten enough news attention, but I've seen it on social media here and there. 14-year-old girl in New Jersey.
Okay.
Supposedly walks out of her house onto her driveway to make phone calls and text or whatever, just takes a walk, stroll outside in the neighborhood where she lives. Her dad is a very big, burly, tattooed, he's bald guy with a big beard, tattooed on his face and his head. That's neither here nor there, but I'm giving you a visual representation. And this dude is huge. 6'2", 6'3", 250 pounds. He's a big fucking boy. Big strapping guy, mm-hmm. right? She disappears from her driveway. She never comes back in the house.
Oh.
And dad freaks out. Mom freaks out. Apparently, I think they're separated, but everyone freaks out. And dad goes full Taken and starts papering every neighboring town, making social media videos that get spread around the internet like wildfire about his daughter. His daughter's missing. This is my baby. I need her back. You know, $25,000. You just let me know. You know, drop her off here. Call me. No police involved. Whatever. Like real fucking movie type mm-hmm. shit. And guess what? Someone calls him about 3 weeks, 2 or 3 weeks after she disappears. Someone calls him and says, I think I saw your daughter near a boat in Islip.
Islip, New York.
Yeah, Islip, New York, or wherever, yeah. Jersey. Yeah, I think I saw her boarding a boat in Islip, right? Islip, whatever, however you say it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm really scared because I know who owns the boat. I know the people that are involved and they're not, and it's not good news, right? If this Jeez. Is your daughter. And he says, okay, I'm getting a lot of tips. You know, how do I know this is real? And she says, well, if I see her again, I'll take a picture. He says, well, she's got a tattoo. Take a picture. If you can get a picture of the tattoo, I'll know it's her for sure, right? So day later, he gets the picture of the tattoo and he's on his way. And he still doesn't believe that this is his daughter. He doesn't want to get his hopes up, mm-hmm. right? But he shows up in the middle of the night at this boatyard, at this dock, and the boat is wet slipped. It's sitting in the water. It's like a houseboat type mm-hmm. thing. And he goes. He doesn't know if anybody's on the boat. All the drapes are closed. Lights are on. Drapes are closed. He doesn't hear anything. He doesn't know if anybody's on the boat. And the lady who knows who owns this boat, the people that he's been communicating with, she could knock on the door and see if this dude is home or these people are home or whatever. But she backs out last minute. She gets scared. She don't want anything to do with it. So he decides to go full Taken and storm the boat himself. Storms the boat. And guess what? His daughter is there.
What?
And he finds his daughter and he brings her home. Fucking crazy story. Insane story. Hours later, the boatyard is stormed and the police arrest the owner of the boat.
Okay.
A guy who is apparently connected to some real bad shit, right? Older white guy who's had some stuff on his record, some bad shit. Let's just put it that way, right? And I just started following this story about 4 or 5 days ago. This story is from September of last year. I couldn't believe it didn't get more attention. But it is an amazing story. But then you think about the story, like think it all the way through and you go, it's so amazing. It's so amazing that this guy just randomly got a phone call from a random lady that,
yeah, you know,
it's almost too good to be true. Now, I don't know if it is or if it isn't. All I know is what's being told through media. But there are a lot of people who know the family, who know this guy, the father, who are saying something doesn't add up here, right? Maybe not a setup, but maybe the dad was involved with some people who, or maybe the daughter was not the, and this is a 14-year-old girl. How in the world could she possibly have? She's not fully formed yet, right? Her brain is not fully developed. But that the daughter may have not necessarily been taken. She may have went with somebody.
Right.
And this all kind of blew up into this whole drama thing that maybe it was still dramatic, but it wasn't this kind of drama. This is a fascinating story. And I cannot believe that this is not like national news. Because how often do you have someone go missing, and then the dad literally storms a boat to pull the daughter to safety. Like, this is a crazy story, and I think it deserves some media attention and maybe a little bit of scrutiny to see what's really going on. I mean, you know, just so we can all have some knowledge about, hey, how did you find her? How did this all go down? What worked? What didn't?
Well, just by talking about it on this platform, I think you've elevated it to national status.
Three people that are listening to this show will now be ready to pounce on. But I mean, you know, there's children go missing every fucking day. It's a nightmare that any parent will never get out of their heads, because that is like the ultimate, oh shit.
Yeah.
What do you do? Right? And this guy figured it out. He did it. Whatever it was he did, he did. And he got his daughter back. So I hope that people shed some light on this story so that other people can hear about it, and other parents who may be suffering the same fate, or who may suffer the same fate, can take action like this guy did. Listen, I would go to the ends of the earth.
Of course.
I would drop everything for however long.
Oh my God.
Until I got the conclusion, until I got to the end of the fucking rainbow. That's it.
God, that's like that. That reminds me of the Elizabeth Smart. You know, that story. They just came out with a new documentary with her on Netflix.
Yeah.
She's recounting all that. I started to watch it and then I kind of had to pull away, but taken in the middle of the night.
Yes.
And then recovered later.
Years later. Like what, 3 years later or something?
Remember,
she lived with some dudes and some homeless people in the woods for a long time?
Yeah, it's bad.
Or the JonBenet Ramsey case that has never been solved. I mean, that is literally the definition of insanity. Some people think that J.E. is involved in that. I'm not going to say his name on this podcast. There's like a whole weird web there that I don't think everything is connected to J.E. That's my own personal opinion. He's a boogeyman, no doubt about it, but I don't think we can connect every bad thing that ever happened to him. And I think people want to solve things that are terrible and bad by putting someone who's terrible
and
bad.
You want an explanation.
You want an explanation. The JonBenet Ramsey case really affected me when I was
in my late teens,
early 20s. Ew,
talk about national news. Jeez.
I saw Patsy Ramsey and the father.
That's right.
I saw them on multiple occasions on the restaurants.
Yeah.
I wouldn't serve them. I refused to serve them. But I might have been wrong. I don't know. It's hard to tell. But, you know, I don't know. Now as a parent, I think maybe Patsy Ramsey was just grieving. I think she might have just been grieving. But when she was on TV,
they just came out with that other.
The father did the whole documentary.
Yeah,
yeah, it was fascinating. And I believe him. I believe him. I watched the documentary. I want to believe him. He seems like he's being sincere. It's a terrible case. There was so much scrutiny and pressure. They really, I think, found the guy, but they just couldn't loop him. Like, they just couldn't get that last piece of evidence they needed to keep him in jail. But, you know, that the family has suffered, and they suffered at the hands of people like me too, who refused to serve them at a restaurant because I made judgments about what was going on when I had no fucking clue what was going on. But you got to remember, this was an international news story, and the press really hounded those parents because they assumed that they did it or had something to do with it. So, you know, maybe not. I don't know.
Well, I'm glad the girl was found in your story.
She was found. And apparently she's safe and sound. And people who do know them say that she is doing okay.
Good.
And the father refuses to talk about exactly what happened. He says that's not for public consumption. And you know what? Fair enough. She's 14. She needs to go ahead and live her life if she can, you know, in somewhat of a normal way. So, all right. There you go.
Have you watched The Pit?
No.
Okay.
I haven't watched The Pit, but I'm watching The Night Manager.
I saw that pop up. Is it good?
I like it.
Yeah.
It's not great, but I like it. It's not great. It's another one of those, like the first 7 episodes, season 1 was really good, I thought. I thought it was really good. It had its problems, but it was really good. But season 2 is another one of these, you know, Jack Ryan, every bullet misses everybody kind of thing.
Okay.
And I'm like, they're dropping
Matrix style.
Yeah, they're dropping advanced weaponry from helicopters in the middle of the jungle, and it's just cross, double cross, triple cross, quadruple cross. It's like, okay, come on. It's almost like they have superhero abilities without being superheroes. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's a little too far. Yeah,
that's right. okay, so this is what we're going to do. We'll be back on Thursday.
Live streaming
right around here. And then we'll be back on Friday with the... I mean, we'll be back... Yeah, we'll be back on Friday. with the podcast. And then on Thursday, I'm also going to drop that episode with Craig Ferguson.
Yeah, it was great.
Yeah. So tune in and we'll talk to Craig. He'll tell us about Scrabble. We'll ask him if he's Scottish. It'll be a fun time.
I was surprised he told me that tidbit about the trains.
Yeah. He told you it was going to be cold.
Mm-hmm. Well, I knew that, but he said even on the train.
Yeah, you know, we noticed that in France, too, is that the trains, depending on what part of the train you're in, can be cold. Mm. If you're in the nice part of the train, it's perfectly lovely.
Well, I plan on being on the nice part.
Well, the doors open and close so much, I think it's really hard to keep it warm.
Yeah.
So, also, at the commercial break on Instagram. Hey, everybody out there streaming. Thanks for joining. Thanks for joining. Thanks for tuning in. At the commercial break on Instagram, youtube.com/thecommercialbreak to watch those live streams on Tuesdays and Thursdays, right about 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And get your free sticker, tcbpodcast.com. All right, until next time. I guess that's all I will do for today. Okay. I will tell you that I love you.
I love you.
I will say best to you.
Best to you.
Best to you out there in the podcast and streaming universe. Find your CW, watch Scrabble. Until next time, Chrissy and I will say, do say, and we must say.
Goodbye. Bye.